He's more than just a man who walked the shores of Galilee, and he's more than just a man who made those blinded eyes to see. He's more than just a man who hung upon that cruel tree. He's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
He's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
Words here. He's more than just a man who walked barefooted on the sand, and he's more than just a man who had those nail scars in his hands.
Smile.
Jesus, hold my hand. certainly a privilege to be able to come together to worship God. And the blessings that we receive from Him cannot be measured in this old frail body that we have. All we can do is just a little bit. But when we get that other body, according to the Scriptures, we won't be constricted by a whole bunch of problems that we got down here. If you don't think we got problems, just get older. You'll figure it out, all right? That's one of them things. But I got news for you. The one He creates for us is not going to be made out of dirt, okay? I like knowing that. Well, let's just go on or we'll be here all day. Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter number 46. 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Two verses of Scripture we're going to read this morning. And I would love for you to read it with me. We're going to reference a lot of different spots. But Genesis chapter number 46, verse number 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I pray, God, today, God, that you prepare all of our hearts, God, to receive, God, your word. God, we realize, God, this body, it's not going to last forever. God, we realize we got a better home to come to. God, I pray, God, if there be one lost right of your will, today they surrender their heart and life unto you. God, draw us nigh unto you. God, get a little closer that we might just feel your presence. But most of all, let your will be done. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to say that if you know anything about the Bible, now I'm going to assume you do because we just don't have the time today. But Joseph was a character. My goodness, look at what he went through. In one man's life, he went through a whole bunch. Whenever you're taken from your family and basically what we'd call kind of sold into slavery, your brothers kind of kicked you out of the family, you'd have every reason to be bitter. You have every reason in the world to be bitter. And then whenever he was lied upon and all those things and put in prison, after things, you might think, well, things got to look up better one day. Well, he gets put in prison and things didn't look up. He was interpreter of all kinds of good things and so interpreter of dreams and all that stuff. Well, that didn't, things just went south for him. It didn't work out very well. But I don't know how God works. I wish I could figure him out ahead of time. But I'm thankful that he knows. And I'm thankful that I always say this, but I like it. He's already got tomorrow figured out. I just catch up to it, okay? And until that time, I need to trust him. That's where I need to do is trust. If I trust him, then I know tomorrow's taken care of. Well, I think that's what Joseph had to do. I think in the trouble that he was going through, it could have been all about me. It could have been, oh, poor, pitiful me. Look what I've went through. Look what I've suffered. Look, I don't have anybody. Don't have family. Don't have nothing. If I want to look at somebody and say, poor, poor, pitiful me, my story's not near as that bad as yours. My family didn't throw me out, you know, basically. Them brothers, they didn't like him at all. And if that had been the case, boy, I'm glad I wasn't Joseph. I'm glad God didn't say, okay, Redmond Talley, you're going to be the Joseph. No, if at all possible, Lord, give me a pass on that one, okay? Let me live my dull life, okay? But you see, God was working in Joseph. God works. God works in your life too. He may not do those flashy things that all the world might see, but God is working in your life. Every day God does some working in your life. This verse, this only verse, this verse, we know the story that Joseph was in the position in Egypt. We know that God put him there. We know that the famine was going on in the land where his family had lived, in the promised land, as we would call it. And we know living over in there in that land, you think, man, everything's going to be all right when you're in God's land. Well, friend, I want you to know over in Israel right now, which is that same land, everything ain't all right. You look around at the society, you look around at the world, you look around at government, everything's wrong over there, but I got news for you. As long as God is there, Nace, friend, as long as God's in charge of that, everything's all right. You see, it's how you look at it. If we look at it through the eyes of the world, but if we look at it through the eyes of God, everything's going just fine. Everything's all right. But in this particular case, Joseph had made a little promise to his brothers. And he made a little promise to them, said, listen, I want you to go back. He could have said it this way. Here's the way I'd say it. Go back home and get daddy. And there's another brother there, but go back home and get daddy. And y'all come, and here's where I want you to go to. I want you to go to the land of Goshen. Now, we've already talked about this before, but let me just say this. That's where I want you to go. I want you to bring the family, and I want you to go to Goshen. Now, we have no idea where Goshen is. We can look it up on a map. We can go over there and visit, and we can say, boy, but what's so good about Goshen? Friend, in a land of famine where they once lived, you'd have to go to a place where here's what the Bible says, and it won't take me but just a second to read it to you. It's just a page over. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. That's what it said. Near unto me and thy children's children. In other words, I want you to bring all the family, and I want you to go live, and I want you to dwell there in the land of Goshen, because guess what? It's going to be about 5 more years of famine, okay? And if you're near to me, that's all I ask for. I want you to be near to me. It kind of sounds like Joseph had some good intentions, maybe even for his family. But that ain't the verse we read. The verse that we read was that Joseph got into his chariot. That meant he was a little bit of distance. And he got into his chariot and he went down to see his father. That's where he went. Now this is the first visit to seeing his father in a long time. When you're anticipating seeing your father for the very first time, what do you do? See, Joseph lived in the land of Egypt, and when his brothers saw him for the first time, they didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph's clothes were different. Joseph probably had a different hairstyle. Joseph probably had a different look about him. And in fact, there was no recognition at all that it was their brother. None at all. Friend, I wonder if Joseph thought, will Daddy know me? Will my earthly father know me? Will he recognize me as Joseph? You got to think with me just a moment. There's some things in this life that you worry about, but you never, ever want to worry about your father's love for you. You never. No, sir. You want your father's love to be real, no matter if it's a good day or a bad day. You want that father's love to be good and steady. You see, when things are bad, friend, when things was bad for, don't you want to know that maybe Joseph wanted to holler out and, hey, Daddy? don't you want to think just for a moment, if he could call out, Daddy would have crawled on his belly to find Joseph. He loved Joseph. He mourned for Joseph, because you remember how the brothers did. Brothers brought that coat back and smeared some blood on it and lied to Daddy and done all the things to Daddy. Friend, Daddy would have crawled on his belly if he'd known just for one moment where Joseph was. That's what an earthly father will do. But not just the way Joseph was dressed. But when he got in that chariot, what am I going to say? What are you going to say? You remember that prodigal son? You remember that prodigal son? He had his speech all rehearsed. He said, I'll go back to my father. And in my father's house, there I'll be able to say, Father, treat me like one of them servants. That he may have had a rehearsal in his mind of what he was going to tell Daddy when he saw him for the first time. He's driving up on there. And he comes real close. I would pray that from a long ways away, just like the prodigal son's daddy, I believe he recognized there's Joseph. Because it ain't the clothes on your back that makes you who you are. Whenever Joseph got close, the scripture that we read, whenever they got there, they embraced, they hugged for a long time. For a long, there's no words that are given in that verse. There's nothing said. I wonder if Joseph would ever thought, will Daddy be proud of me? You see, you kind of want your father's approval. You want to know if what you do in this life measures up to the standard maybe of even your earthly father. You want to have respect. The Bible tells us to honor thy father and thy mother. My friend, now I want to tell you, I hear cases of children that their father does some bad things. Their mother does some bad things. And you steal my advice to folks when I hear my advice, honor your father and your mother. Why is that? Friend of mine, I want you to hear, if you honor God's word, God will take care of the mothers and fathers. Sometimes when they make bad decisions and do the wrong things and all that, you still honor God's word and God's word will stand true. Now listen to me. When they embraced, if they hadn't put a long time, I thought, well, this was quick. Why didn't we hear what they had to say? Why don't we hear what they were doing? Listen, let me backtrack just a moment. Joseph wanted family near him. Joseph wanted brothers near him, the same ones that had betrayed him. Joseph wanted children, their children, near him. You see, he hadn't had that in a long time. He hadn't had family near him. He wanted family near, but he wanted daddy near him. Now, the land of Goshen, I don't know anything about it, but I can think about it being the best that there was could possibly have in the land of Egypt. I kind of want to think that. And by thinking that, it was close. He would watch over them. He had it all figured out. But when Daddy come on the scene, it kind of reminds me there's spiritual things and there's carnal things. The carnal things, and I hate to use that term, but the carnal things is the best land. I'm going to make sure they got food. They're going to have clothes on their back. These are things that are going to be taken care of. That might be the carnal thing. But can I think about the spiritual things just for a moment? In the book of Job, there was this man called Job that had everything in his heart could desire. You could just name it. Cows, everything. I mean, camels, the whole nine yards. Had everything. Land, money, you had everything. But he had a bunch of children. Now, the carnal things was easy. That was the easy part. God blessed him. But it's easy to have things. Watch this. Well, whenever Job would pray, number one, for himself. Number two, for his children. You see, he had his eyes not just on the carnal, fleshly food, possessions. No. He had his eyes a little bit deeper. And then that deeper, that spiritual depthness in his life was, I'm going to pray and I'm going to offer sacrifice. I'm going to pray to God, because if any one of my children has done wrong, I'm going to present this in front of God. Now, friend, you see, a father's love goes a whole lot further than we ever would. I've made my father proud. You see, them children, if they were sacrificing to God and they were offering an offering unto God, they were making their daddy proud. It didn't matter what they'd accomplish. You can have degrees you can have a whole line of degrees. But what makes father proud is if you follow the will of God. Well, I'd like to be able to say that same thing for many other people in the Bible. But let me just kind of quickly, I know my time gets away too quick, but let me just kind of say this one. There was a man that was on the cross of Calvary with Jesus. I hate to tell you what we call him. This man was going to die. I hate to tell you his actions. This man was known as the thief on the cross. We don't even know him by name. We don't even know anything about him except he deserved to die. That's come out of his own mouth. That same man that was a thief and deserved to die, if his earthly father would have been present, his earthly father could have, even rare, but it could have, let me die in his place. If he was, he didn't present himself. He never said a word. Don't know if he was there. But I got news for you. That had been just carnal. That would have been outside. But here, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you what's really important. Here's what was really important. That thief on that cross was just a few feet away from the Savior of the world. And whenever he made that little confession to God, Jesus said this, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." How do you get that? You get that because you're not thinking about the carnal things. You get that because you're thinking about the spiritual thing. And the spiritual things in life is what goes down deep inside. And that is your soul. And the soul of man is what he saved on that day. That's the Heavenly Father looking out even for us that is in such extreme circumstances. So now you know why Joseph hugged on his earthly father. Can I make my daddy proud today? Is my daddy happy with me? You may have your earthly father, and if you do, don't do things to hurt your father. Don't deliberately do things. No, don't do that. But if you do, go to him and say you're sorry. Go to him and tell him you're sorry. But better yet, live in such a way that your daddy will be proud of you. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible? When I look at this little simple story of Job and how he loved his children, and I look at how the prodigal son, his daddy loved him, when I look at that, I say, man, that was good. But there are some sad examples in this Bible. And this example that I'm going to give to you is going to hurt, because here's the statement. It would have been better for that man to have never been born. Now, how are you born in this world? You got a mother and you got a father. And your father had a part in having this boy. He was born. And one day, when mom and daddy had this boy to be born in that family, and they decided to name him Judas, they had no idea, no idea what was going to happen. No idea at all. When they heard, if they were alive and they had heard that, you know what Judas is doing? Judas is one of the disciples and following the Lord around. Boy, that made daddy proud. It would be an honor to be picked to go to Washington to serve with the president, wouldn't it? It'd be a good one. Boy, it's a whole lot better whenever you get to serve the Lord. Amen. Daddy and mama were so proud that if they would have been around, they'd have been so proud. In fact, they could have run up to Judas and hugged him for a long time. Just like Joseph hugging his daddy. But the only problem was, Judas wanted the carnal things. And he wanted that 30 pieces of silver. And he sold out the Lord. And when he sold out the Lord, the statement came. And that statement came, it could have been for Judas and was for Judas, but it referenced the day that boy was born. Let me say this. When Joseph's father thought Joseph was dead, he held Benjamin, that was the youngest, closer to him. In fact, when all the other brothers went to Egypt to buy corn, he held him back. Why? He was an older man, but he didn't want nothing to happen to the apple of his eye, if I can call him that. He wanted to make sure he was protected. Can I say this? When Joseph was taking care of Daddy in the land of Goshen, he was taking care of and making sure Daddy was protected. Watch this though. Joseph's daddy's heart could have never been more happy on the day that he embraced him on that day. One day, according to Thessalonians, one day there's going to be a trumpet sound. And when that trumpet sounds, when that trump of God will sound, them graves, the dead in Christ, going just boom. And as instant and as quick as that is, me and you, if we're alive or if we're in a grave, whichever way, we go up. And you know what's going to happen on that day? Oh, here's what people say. Oh, when I see Jesus, I'm going to thank you for this, that, and the other. I believe when we get to heaven, it'd almost be like there's scriptures that talks about silence in heaven. Wait a minute. I believe when we get to heaven, all we're wanting to do is hug or embrace the Lord because he made it possible that an old boy like me that would sell you out lock, stock, and barrel, sins beyond measure, do wrong to everybody you come in contact with. Just name your sins that we've all committed. Do all the wrong things we've done. But you know something? God doesn't look at our works. God doesn't look at the carnal thing. God looks at the condition of your soul. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus? Do you know? Because guess what? Everybody is born into somebody's family. But I'm glad to know that only a select few, what's this select for you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was born into God's family. Oh, I have an earthly father, an earthly mother, but I'm thank God that I was born into God's family. Not of works that I've done. No, sir. I was by the grace of God, by His marvelous grace that He saved my soul, that only on that day do I understand what it meant that He embraced Him and He hugged Him for a long time. I'm going to hug the Lord one day. And whenever I do, I hope I remember it ain't what's going to come out of the mouth that makes me proud. It's what Jesus did that makes me proud. If you're here today, God loves you. But if you're lost, friend, God still loves you, but you're not going to be able to meet us. You're not going to go. The only way you can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's through Jesus. Would you get us a song together, Brother Greg? I don't know your heart or your life. I wished I could figure out the future. But I can't. I can only do right now. Today's a septic time. Tomorrow, it belongs to God. But I'm glad to know Jesus stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm glad to know that the door of opportunity is open because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Ain't you glad it ain't through religion? Ain't you glad it's through the church? Ain't you glad it's through Jesus Christ? May we stand to our feet, sing a verse of this song. God's speaking to you. You come today.